them again.
Am I exhausted in my time?
Yes.
Well, now we're starting the next.
We're starting the next case.
Which is them.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. It's Egan versus the City of Seattle.
So you're first on this one.
Well, thank you, Jay.
Yeah, you're first and last on this
one. Okay. Seems like there's a lot of slap going on. There's a lot of anti-slap. It's like the Jerry Springer show.
It's a slap-happy morning.
It is. It is the Jerry Springer show, Judge. But I think we'll get a lot of resolution here, and I think my case is a great case example for how we're going to proceed. I think I'm reserving three. Is that right? This is a very useful method of understanding anti-slap law. Okay, thank you. The only issue before this court on the issue of anti-slap is, does Washington's anti-slap statute actually contain an exemption for Public Records Act injunctions? Does it? Well, you look at the statute, and it says this shall apply to any claim, however characterized, any claim. I mean, you couldn't be more clear. And the problem we have, I get to sit down at this point because I've made my argument. This is clearly grounded under anti-slap law. The problem with the lawsuit let me back up. There's no PRA lawsuits are simply not exempt. And what the anti-slap does is it creates a procedural overlay to look at any claim involving public participation. Not every claim, but if there's a claim, there's a defense like me that there's public participation involved, I get a special motion to strike. And I know Judge Dwyer and the other judges, you've asked, what is this? Is it like a CR 11? Is it like summary judgment? And my position is, not exactly. It's a special motion to strike that puts it in a different category. And because everything is put aside at that time, there is not any further discovery. There's merely affidavits. I think that the courts can figure out anti-slap law without resorting to having voluminous discovery. In fact, that's the point, isn't it? And you look at the notes in the back of the anti-slap statute, it talks about the court is concerned with the public abuse of the courts against public participants. Okay, it's sort of like, gosh, a Ghostbuster. Who are you going to call, right? Change it. It's actually who you're going to chill. Who are you going to chill? The court has pointed out, as I watched earlier, that you've got chilled petition rights, or in one way or another, somebody's going to get it, right? So somebody makes a request. They are making in furtherance of petition when they say, I'm going to sue you, or maybe it's just automatic inherent because it's a public records request, and that carries with it.
Yes, sir, it is.
It is.
What's your argument?
In my opinion,
all public records requests are matters of public participation.
I actually don't need to make that argument.
It wouldn't be the case necessarily that they would be a matter of public concern, and particularly if what you're seeking is discovery for purposes of a lawsuit on behalf of someone else.
I think it's
that would be an interesting question.
Are you saying it is a matter of public concern?
I'm not going to say yet. I get to wait.
You get to wait. I'm not. Okay. We haven't started deliberation. You have to look at E. You know how the prior arguers talked about E in the anti-slap statute, any other lawful conduct in furtherance of the exercise of the constitutional, it has the constitutional right of free speech in connection with an issue of public concern, correct? But it also says, or in furtherance of the exercise of the constitutional right of petition. That's not tied to a matter of public concern. Anything in furtherance of the constitutional right of petition gets covered by anti-slap.
Now you just got off the porch, and now you're going to have to play with the big dogs. And that is exactly the problem here.
I like big dogs.
Okay. Because you can have a matter of public participation that is not necessarily a matter of public concern. And that's clear from the California cases. It's clear from the federal cases that have construed the California statute. And I think it's fairly clear, if you will, in some of the cases out of state courts, unfortunately one of which is not published. So
and Judge Gorsuch, the matter of public concern is irrelevant in the issue of E. You have to look at the statute. It does not say anything about constitutional furtherance of the exercise of constitutional right of petition, period. It doesn't say anything about matter of public concern. And by the way, California case law does support that pre-litigation letters, statements, I'm going to sue you, are covered by anti-slap law. Look at the Echelon case. Look at the Dove Audio cases. Those are in my briefing. In those cases, there were requirements of Initiative 61 notices that consumer cause is going to sue somebody.
That was
the basis for the lawsuit.
Their suit wasn't directed at your threat to sue. Even if it was motivated by your threat to sue, their suit was directed at your request for the public records.
No, they said in their own briefing that the basis of the lawsuit was my threat to sue.
That's their motivation. They did not seek a declaratory judgment asking the Superior Court to declare that you could not sue them. That was not what they
thought. Well, that would have been that would have flowed, Judge. That would have flowed from a ruling against me, which they were trying to accelerate.
The basis for their lawsuit was your request that was the gravamen of their lawsuit, was
right.
Your request for the public record.
Right. It made even more significant
so
by the fact that it threatened them.
Is that request for the public records, is that something that falls within the state right to free speech, the state right to petition, or the First Amendment right to free speech, or the First Amendment right to petition?
It falls in the gravamen of the conduct in furtherance of the right of petition, especially where I'm threatening to sue them, and they're claiming that's the basis for the lawsuit. We couldn't be more clear, okay? So I established, more likely than not, that my lawsuit, they've agreed, is petition conduct. By the way, this is the city saying we're out of the frying pan and into the fire. We didn't sue him for his substantial publicity efforts. We sued him because he threatened to sue us. That is clear public participation under California case law. So if we're going to take that as any kind of guidance in this current law of anti-SLAPP, that's a burden shifting. Then when the burden shifts, what's going on over there? When the city has to establish by clear and convincing evidence, and I agree that's a high standard, that they can prove their case, and they have already gotten CR 11 sanctions. This is so patently obvious.
I'm still stuck at the first stage, so the burden hasn't shifted yet. The U.S. Supreme Court says that there's not a general constitutional right of access to government information. So
well,
if there isn't a general federal constitutional right, where does it come from? Is there something particular about the state constitution that you're arguing that produces such a right?
It comes from the anti-SLAPP law that you can't be sued for merely being a potential litigant. And that's exactly what they do. They say, he's a potential litigant. Oh, my God, we're going to be sued. Never mind, by the way. I've never sued them. Before they sued me, I had never won a lawsuit against the city. One prior civil lawsuit against the city of Redmond for tasering a diabetic woman. That was it. As to PRA cases, didn't have one. So what is the emergency here about? There isn't one. And the city, in claiming that they had to do this, that's a slap. And they made it real clear that they sued me because I threatened to sue them. You can do that, judges. You can threaten to sue. You might have done it in your private practice. That doesn't mean that the basis for hauling you into court is that and that alone. And if it is, the burden shifts. They have to prove by preponderance of evidence, clear and convincing evidence, that they're going to prevail, and they haven't. Frankly, I want to make clear, I'm asking for the punitive sanctions that are in the anti-SLAPP statute. Part C allows the court to do that. I don't know how the court's going to do that, but I'm asking the court to address.
You want to go into your balance of your time?
Punitive sanctions. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, I'm Mary Perry. I represent the city in this action. The first prong of the anti-SLAPP statute has to be based on an action involving public participation and petition. That brings it directly within constitutional rights. Mr. Egan admits that there is no constitutional right to get records under the Public Records Act. This court has held that way in the KCDAJD. Versus Parmalee case. The U.S. Supreme Court, the Washington Supreme Court have all held that way. And if this is not an act of public participation and petition that is the basis or gravamen of the underlying action, the movement cannot prove that it meets prong one. If you look at the facts here, it's a PRA case. This is not based on any speech by Mr. Egan. As a matter of fact, the particular request that he made in September of 2011 asked for a number of records, including the 36 videos, and SPD gave him 1,800 pages of records, gave him in-car videos of the individuals that he represented. The only dispute here is over a handful of the in-car videos where we have an actual underlying legal dispute regarding whether or not RCW 973 applies. Mr. Egan threatened to sue the city. We responded by bringing a 540 action as allowed by the statute. We did not sue him because we were directing our action at his speech or at him directly. We sued him because, A, he threatened to sue, and when we brought the 540 action asking the court to tell us whether or not we had properly applied the exemption, we had to bring him into the action. Burt versus Department of Corrections says that the requester is a necessary party. This is not about Mr. Egan. This is about getting an answer to an underlying legal dispute that Mr. Egan raised. If you accept Mr. Egan's argument...
What was the ultimate underlying judgment of the court? It dismissed Mr. Egan, or it denied Mr. Egan's motion.
That's correct, Your Honor.
It granted CR 11 sanctions in favor of Mr. Egan against your client. And then what else did it do? Did it dismiss your complaint?
Yes, it did, Your Honor.
And the basis for dismissing your complaint was was it Rule 11, or was it on the merits of, was it a summary judgment motion on your claim? How did your underlying claim get dismissed?
It's confusing, but if you look at what happened, the court did look at Judge Rogers' ruling and held that the city had, at the very least, met the first and third prongs of 540, but the court, in a rather confusing order, said that we could not meet the second prong regarding whether or not this would harm any particular person or be of no legitimate interest to the public.
The court ruled that you didn't show an entitlement to a remedy.
I'm not sure it was that clear. It simply dismissed the action, saying that it was completely unnecessary to bring the action in the first place. The court...
Those are separate questions. So I'm trying to get a handle on the process here. So the merits were actually reached.
No, Your Honor. Judge Lum referred to Judge Rogers' order, talked a bit about the merits, but didn't make a specific ruling, simply dismissed the action and said that the city should not have brought it in the first place and awarded CR 11.
The question I keep trying to get a handle on then, was it dismissed as a sanction or was it dismissed on the merits?
It was not absolutely clear, but it appeared to be as a sanction because, as the court's order said, it was a completely unnecessary lawsuit, that the city should not have brought it in the first place. Going back to the gravamen of the action, a 540 action under the Public Records Act is similar to the 565 action in the Parmalee case. And in that case, this court held that an action brought under the inmate injunction statute of the Public Records Act, which is much more severe than the 540 injunction action, because it barred the inmate from access to all records for a period of years, as long as he was incarcerated. This court held it did not violate Mr. Parmalee's First Amendment rights because the injunctive relief is procedural. It's not substantive. There is no substantive right to records under the Public Records Act. That's what the Houchins case held. That's what the LAPD case versus LAPD versus United Reporting case, McBurney v. Young from the U.S. Supreme Court just recently held that, again, that there's no constitutional right to records under the Public Records Act. The parties seem to agree here, as I've heard the arguments this morning and as I've read the briefing, including the newspaper's amicus briefing, that the court should look to U.S. Supreme Court precedent in determining what is a First Amendment or a constitutional right. And this court has indeed said in the Parmalee case that that's the general rule. The court should apply that general rule in determining whether or not the gravamen of a particular PRA action has anything to do with the First Amendment or constitutional right to participation and petition. And the evidence...
Are you debunking, attempting to debunk that it's a speech case or attempting to debunk that it's a petition case?
Where are you going with this?
Well, Mr. Egan argues, first of all, that this is a petition case because it's his threat to sue. Now, he misinterprets the California cases on that point. He points to the Dove Audio case and the...
It's a public records request. Not the threat to sue, a public records request, an act of petitioning the government. The answer to that is yes. Now, it may not fall within the ambit of a First Amendment right, but it nevertheless amounts to petitioning the government. That's the question. Is it? Because it is in the ambit of a petition to the government, it's certainly within the statute. Now, does the First Amendment dictate everything we do with this statute? Or do we look to the statute independently and only worry about it when it conflicts, perhaps, with the First Amendment, due process, any number of other little concerns that seem to raise their ugly head here?
I would submit that the underlying intent of the statute is to address constitutional rights. Given that the legislative intent said that it was addressing lawsuits brought primarily to chill the valid exercise of the constitutional rights of freedom of speech and petition for the redress of grievance.
Well, you have a right to petition independently of the Public Records Act. You have a right to seek access to public records independently of the Public Records Act. Nothing forecloses that. It just may not necessarily be a matter of a federal constitutionally First Amendment protected right to petition. That's a subject on which I think the Supreme Court of the United States might be mistaken. One can't tell them that, so here we are. But I'm not necessarily sure that the Supreme Court of the state of Washington has to agree that it isn't protected under the state constitution, either under the rubric of the right to jury trial or access to the courts, which they seem to hold very dear, and justifiably so. So we have all of that coming into competition here. I'm not sure where you're going with your argument here.
Fine.
Seems to me maybe both people are petitioning in this case, in which case now what do we do?
Good point, Your Honor. But even accepting the argument that this is a petition for the redress of grievance, if you take the anti-SLAPP statute to its ultimate interpretation on that, it would overrule RCW 4256-540.
Legislature gets to do that.
But implicitly do it?
We can't necessarily do it, but the legislature gets to do it.
Without a word. There is nothing...
Absolutely without a word. I could give you all kinds of black letter law on that. If they're inconsistent, it's clear they're inconsistent. Which is the later act? And so on and so on and so on.
If I may just finish my point. And if that were the case, then, if we had brought the action against Mr. Egan to shut down his website, to stop him from ever making requests again, that may have been a slap. That's not what we did. We simply sought determination on a very small handful of records while providing him copious other records, thousands of records, including the ones that he put on his website. Thank you, Your Honor.
The issue that is being confounded by the city here is that the only question is, does anti-SLAPP law contain an exemption for the Public Records Act? And the answer remains...
That isn't the question at all. The first step is you demonstrate that your actions fall within it.
Well,
they have to prove an exemption.
I guess step one
is you have to prove by preponderance that the actions fall within it.
Right,
and that's just reading
Judge
the
Gross. Judge Gross may seem to agree with me. Of course, it's public participation because it's conduct in furtherance of the right of petition. We're looking narrowly at that issue.
Under the First Amendment or under Article 1, Section 4?
We don't need to even cite to the First Amendment. While the anti-SLAPP law flows
from
the First Amendment.
Well, but the anti-SLAPP law talks about balancing constitutional rights.
Right.
Taking away rights from one party, balancing them
right.
with the other. So this can't be a balance of rights unless they're constitutional rights. They can't just be common law or statutory rights. To be balanced, they've got to be constitutional rights. So I'm just asking you where you find the constitutional basis that we can look at to observe this balancing in the statute.
The balancing has been decided when we talked about who you're going to chill, whose rights you're going to chill. You're not going to chill.
Whose constitutional right?
Constitutional right in furtherance of petition. You're not going to chill the person engaged
so
in public participation.
Not,
that's not what the city is doing.
It's not a First Amendment. Are you saying it's an Article 1, Section 4 right?
I'm saying it's an anti-slap special motion to strike. And if you want to infer that you're saying that the rights can't be conferred?
That was not an answer. I'm looking for the source of the right that you assert. The U.S. Supreme Court says the source of that right is not the First Amendment. So my question to you is, are you contending it's from Article 1, Section 4 of the state constitution? Because we're running out of constitutions. We've only got two that would apply. So are you saying it comes from Article 1, Section 4?
It can come from either. Obviously,
well, we know it doesn't come from the First Amendment because the U.S. Supreme Court's already told us that.
If you ask the legislature, maybe you have that answer. The city attorney, if
I'm asking you because you're here asserting that you have such a right. So I'm trying to get you to identify where it comes from, and then I'm going to ask you how you find it there. But I can't do the second thing unless you tell me the first thing.
I find it in the anti-slap statute. I find the right of petition. It's well.
The anti-slap statute's not part of any constitution.
It's the constitution. Interestingly, the First Amendment provides the right of petition, and in fact, it has the right of petition against the government.
It does. It does. And if the U.S. Supreme Court had said getting public records is part of that right, you'd be rocking today. But it said the opposite. And so that's why I'm asking, you're saying it comes from the state constitution since the U.S. Supreme Court says it doesn't come
from the First Amendment. The underlying issue was I doing pre-litigation communications with the city attorney? That is conduct in furtherance of the right of petition. It's not inherently petition, but it's in furtherance. And again, the city is due to me some substantial punitive damages. This was an egregious lawsuit based on my public participation. I've been a victim of their litigation misconduct.
Counsel, you need to wrap up, please.
And this was a slap.
Thank you. Panel change. We have two remaining cases. There'll be a panel change. We will quickly be back. So please don't leave the courtroom if you're one of the parties in those remaining cases. Thank you.
All rise. Where does it reset?